Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, the podcast where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Now, before we start this episode, it's important to know that it is on the topic of Dead Meat in a New Deli, which is Season 9, Episode 21 of NYPD Blue, and we just talk about it as is. We don't do it in order. It's kind of spoiled immediately, and we spoil some stuff from previous episodes and previously on the show. We hope that you've actually watched the show up until now. Also, sorry for the pause and the delay. We had a whole lot of life events happen, and I'm just glad we were able to finally get together to do this episode. Also, we canceled our Hulu account, and so we're watching these on DVD when we can. So we don't have the best recall of it, and we're going on notes. A whole lot of stuff happening. All I can say is I hope you enjoy it regardless. See you at the end. Season 9, Episode 21, Dead Meat in a New Deli. First off, hello, everybody. I know it's been a long pause. Things have been crazy. Schedules, car troubles, new dog, a lot of stuff's happened. Also, I will take this moment now to tell Kyle, hey, keep the microphone in front of your face. I'm literally getting complaints about it constantly. So please keep the microphone in front of your face.
How many complaints could you be possibly getting?
Too many.
I thought you were going to say two.
Too many. When the solution, and this is going to blow your mind, keeping the microphone in front of your face. It doesn't seem that difficult.
But see, the problem is I don't see this as a me problem.
You never do. Also, a good reminder that we're kind of just talking about the episode as a whole. We're not going through the whole thing and recapping it. We're just talking about it, having our questions. And when it comes to this one, I think I am now in a complete agreement with you. You can tell the show has kind of left its glory days. But I don't know what to attribute it to.
I don't think I was expecting you to start off with that.
Also, keep in mind, because I also ended the Hulu.
Sorry, I didn't expect you to think start off with that.
Because also I canceled the Hulu account due to, censorship. And now...
Yeah, but he's back, though, so we can get it.
I'm not going to lie. Our father did say that, immediately after...
Yeah, he's back now. It's all good.
It's all good. It's totally fine. Sorry to hit you with that big statement off the top. I just think it's not good, and I think very key things highlight that it's not good. Or it's definitely not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's hard to pinpoint when it actually goes totally bad, but I feel like maybe this season is the beginning of solidifying it, maybe? I don't know. The start of season 9 is where it begins, and then by the end of it, you're like, okay, yeah, it's not what it used to be. And maybe it's this season that is the transition.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm looking at the list of the next episode that we do is a two-parter. It's a two-part episode.
That is...
It's episode 22 and 23, but it's...
Labeled as one.
But we watched it as one. But that episode's not good.
No.
Not to...
Spoil.
I mean, what's weird. Is it's an interesting story.
It's done poorly.
It's acted horribly.
It's done
and
very
it's
poorly.
It's done very bad. Let's talk about this episode because...
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just jump into it. So there's the dude from A Bronx Tale.
I've never seen A Bronx Tale.
And
so
he's the dude, and he's also in The Sopranos. So when I watched this, my question was, I feel like that kid was forced on us as an actor, right?
Okay.
No, for real. Because my question to you is, you've never seen a
Sydney Sweeney situation. That's a joke.
I would actually I would give her a little bit more respect than him.
Oh, damn. Okay.
In the fact that, everything I've seen this kid in, he's himself. He's just an Italian dude from New York or New Jersey. Bronx Tale, that's what he was. In this, that's what he was. In The Sopranos, that's what he was. In the small, like, small parts I've seen him in other things, that's what he was. But my question to you is why were we force-fed this kid when you can watch these three things, this NYPD Blue episode, A Bronx Tale, and his, like, two episodes on Sopranos, and you can see that this kid can't act?
it's a good question.
So, but like, and the thing is like, is it because De Niro signed off on him? Because A Bronx Tale is De Niro's.
Hmm.
But like, I remember watching A Bronx Tale because like everyone, it was the snippet in the Atari song when we were younger. Everyone was like, "Oh my God, have you seen A Bronx Tale? You have to watch A Bronx Tale." And then I watched it, and I was like, "This is boring because this kid can't act, and he's like the main character." And then when I saw him in NYPD Blue later. And then I watched this 2 weeks ago. I was like, yeah, this kid is not good.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why. Like, and but he's like always the focal point in everything he's in. And it's weird to me. It's just, it took away from the story. Because the story is a decentish story.
Ish.
And if he's not there, we can talk about how shitty the Baldwin is.
Well, that's what I would say. This episode, like, this episode has three stories. One is the character you're talking about, his uncle was killed in a convenience store. Daniel Baldwin says, "I got the guy who did it." He's basically just coaxing the guy to say who it is.
Well, because Daniel Baldwin's working in another precinct, working another like string of robberies with the same kind of MO.
Yeah.
And so he has a vendetta to want to get this one guy that he thinks is the guy. So, yeah.
The second story is a sex trafficking, like, mystery.
Oh,
that,
my God. That, is that with the priest?
Yeah, unfolds.
That shit.
But here's what I will say, and you might disagree with me. I think the reason this episode kind of shows that it hasn't been doing well, the priest, the guy that plays the fake priest, and the guy who plays the girl's brother, both dudes that have been in three episodes of NYPD Blue, they had characters that had a lot of weight, characters that had very little weight in those episodes. But they did a good job. And I feel like in this episode, they're kind of doing a good job.
No, I think the guy who is the priest is doing the best that he can with what
he's given.
He's given as a character.
Mm.
The brother, I just think he plays sad the whole time. So I don't know. I don't know. I just thought he was like whatever. That was just a weird thing. Yeah, I don't know.
And then the third story is, I believe this is the episode where Sipowicz is like, the whole thing is, "Hey, Connie, go to Disney World with me and my son."
I think this is, and then he stands up and then he goes, "We're going, get over it." And then Isai Morales says, have a good time.
Also, Connie like rolls in to his office, like, "I'm taking time off to go to..."
Yeah, that scene I liked. I thought that scene was, I don't know if it was written that way or they just improvised a little bit that way, but they're like
back and forth
about that, I thought was very like workplace like talk, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if like you knew like you were trying to keep something under wraps, but yeah, I thought it was great. Because it's kind of the same the way they had the rapport with the lieutenant beforehand.
Fancy.
It's
also the classic, the boss knows everybody's fucking, but officially, no. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Even though we all know. I've been watching season one and two, now on season two with Kimberly, and some of the episodes with Donna Abbandando and Medavoy, it's so clear that something's going on.
Oh, yeah. No,
and it's
100%.
Like, and it's like, come on, dude.
Fancy walks in when he's like rubbing his dick on her ass. Like, what are we talking about? like she's like making coffee and he like comes up behind her, puts his hand around her waist and like dry humps her basically.
Fancy
walks in and Fancy like takes a step and just keeps on going and it's like, fuck.
So this is the question, and it might be mean to Sipowicz, maybe. Do you think Isai Morales, when she comes in and says, "Hey, I'm going to go with Sipowicz and his son to Disney World. Do you think in his mind that he's just like, oh, she's just being a friend?
Oh, no.
He thinks he's going to the bone zone?
No, for sure. 100%.
Everybody thinks he's going to the bone zone.
Yes, because as soon as he says that, we cut to the scene, which is one of my other favorite scenes. So what I think the writers still do a good job with and is in the smaller scenes, like the smaller, like...
Just personal scenes between...
Or like it's more of... what do they call that stuff? Exposition, where it's like they're explaining more, but it's just sitting and they're telling you instead of you seeing it. Those scenes, they still do those well, I think, because there's the scene between Medavoy and Jones sitting in the car, and they're talking about Andy, and Jones goes, if I'm going to Florida with a girl and her kid, we're doing more than seeing, like, Disneyland. Like, oh, we're more than just friends. And then, Medavoy goes, way to go, Andy. And then Jones is like, my man. Like, that was a great scene, I think. And that's
them just talking mad. Like, they're just talking about him. He's going to get some from her. Like, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree that that's everybody's thought. I was just wondering if Esai Morales was like,
yes.
Oh, they're going to go and have a good time and be friends. But no, you're okay.
No, not at all.
But yeah, that's literally the whole C plot is just Andy being like, because the last episode, if we remember, he was in a hostage situation and he comes out of that going like, you know what? I'm going to go to Disney World with a hot woman. And if anyone else has a fucking problem with it, they can eat my ass. Like, he doesn't give a shit.
He acts like going to Disneyland with his hot woman is a burden to him.
Well, no, I think what he's doing, it's the writers apologizing for what they're about to do. It's the writers going like, look, we're going to make this attractive younger woman make out with this hedgehog.
And I know his wife just died.
Well, she didn't just die. It's been a while.
Okay, Kirk.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah. I forgot. You get over it real
also,
quick.
Also, he started dating another woman in between this, didn't he?
I don't think it was a couple of years ago.
Wasn't it?
I think Sharon, whatever, left at the end of season seven, or I think in season seven.
She left in the same season that Simone leaves.
Five?
Because someone texted me, Ben, who was binging the show, saying, you mean to tell me I lose Simone and then I lose Sylvia in the same year? And I was like, yeah, you do.
Oh, maybe it was five. So it's 4 years.
So it's a couple of years. Also, didn't he date Eddie's niece in the intervening years?
Would you say it was dating, or it was more like
fuck buddy situation?
On his side, I think it was.
Well, I think he was okay with it. He was just tired of Eddie being like, yo, what's up with fucking my niece?
No, 100%. I think he wanted to like be able to like go to dinner with someone and then have like and be a fuck buddy and not have to deal with like family stuff, because he still hasn't got over the death of his wife, who was murdered in front of him.
Anyway, the whole
and her last words were, take care of the baby.
there's a whole lot of the writers apologizing that like they have to do this. It's almost like it was a studio note and they're like, okay, we'll get them together. However, we're gonna write that Sipowicz doesn't want to do this.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't alive during this part, but did anyone want that to happen? Were the fans of the show being like, yeah, I think this hedgehog dude needs to get like the second hottest girl on the show again. Like, let's do it. Like, that's fair.
Who's the first?
Rita Ortiz?
I guess that's up for debate and preference. I wouldn't disagree, but I didn't know if it was like officially stated.
I mean, to be honest, for me, it's the woman he bodyguarded for after 9/11.
Pretty good.
I love when you say something that's funny and then you comment on how funny it is to yourself.
Pretty good.
Anyway, that's what's happening. The second story, which we could talk about first.
So what's happening?
We're just talking about the show.
What's happening, though? They're going to Disneyland?
They're going to Disney World.
Yeah. Okay, rough. Rough
and
life.
And Theo wants to pack all of his toys instead of clothes.
Because Theo... we'll move on. He's on the spectrum, but we'll move on. And that's disrespectful for people on the spectrum.
He's on the spectrum, and Sipowicz and her in love. You could call it love on the spectrum.
No, because that season's probably more entertaining than this one. But anyway, so I guess my original question is, like,
why do we have to deal with this main character who sucks?
Yeah, but then also, like, am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Is this kid, like, a good actor and no. I'm just wrong?
I think the highlight of a not good NYPD Blue episode is when they're hanging a really important guest character on someone who's not good. Because we have to talk to this guy like 5 times and he's not good.
And the same thing, like, I really feel they missed an opportunity with the Baldwin character too.
Kinda, like, yeah.
If that character would have been way more, like, I don't know.
Also, if they baked him in a little bit more, like, he was like Savino. Is it Savino from another
Place? Oh, he doesn't even have to be Savino. It could just be, like, remember when that random chick stopped by to work with Bobby and Simone on a case, and
Bobby and Sipowicz.
And Sipowicz
was upset because she got detective third grade.
Yeah, something like that. But the reason she worked is because her attitude and her, like, her, like, she gave the character, like, a vibe that when they came in, she was, like, she had a personality and a character, and you didn't need that much of a backstory on her. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it was Bobby was like, oh, yeah, we came up in the ranks, blah, blah, blah. You could have given some bullshit about this guy. Like, Isai Morales could have just been like, oh, like,
he's a bit of a blowhard.
Yeah, something. Or could have just said, like, something. But it's what he gives you to show that. And it could have been so much cooler if they got someone who was, like, way more, like, he tried so hard to be this, like, cool, like, laid-back, almost California-type guy, I felt. Mm. I felt like someone was like, hey, you're from New York, but you're really, like, California cool. And, like, everything's just, like, chill with you. Like, nothing's, like, well, and then he tried to give that, and he can't. And that's what kind of killed the character for me, because...
Yeah.
It should have been.
He called somebody dog.
Yeah.
Sipowicz, like, rolled his eyes.
When he comes in, like, trying to be all cool and smooth. The way he even tries to, like, be smooth in the interview process, mm-hmm. it's not good.
No.
Like, there's a way he could have. It's just like he didn't know how to deliver that, like, creepy, gross, suave guy. And he should have, because he's a Baldwin.
It's on their crest. What I found interesting
just don't
about...
give him a gun.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wait, that case is over, right? They've already made their determinations?
I mean, yeah, he shouldn't have gotten in trouble. Like, they're trying to get him for, like, manslaughter. Like, unless he physically, like, loaded the gun, which he said he didn't. Like, I don't think you can... What can you do to Alec Baldwin? It was an accident.
My question to you about this... Didn't it feel like they were going, this episode has these day players and Daniel Baldwin? And, like, for a moment when he shows up, I feel like they almost paused for applause. Where I'm like, who gives a shit? Like,
you got the wrong Baldwin.
Like, were people at this time, like, going, oh, my God, Daniel Baldwin?
Like, give me Steven, baby.
Like, what? Why was it a big deal? And then he kind of, like, I agree with you. He kind of has this.
Give me Steven?
No.
Oh.
He has this swagger, like, I'm the cock of the walk. But it's like, you're Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah, like, he should have, like,
You're basically a walking sign that says Steven said no.
There was just, no, you're a walking sign that every Baldwin said no. Billy even said no.
Alec, Billy. I just realized that Stephen Baldwin is the crazy Christian one. I forgot which
Baldwin but
was.
Dude, he was in Biodome, so he gets a pass.
No, he doesn't. Like, I know what you just did. No, he doesn't.
His daughter's Haley, like, he gets a pass.
Ugh.
There's nothing wrong with Haley Bieber. She's fine. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I just feel like... This was an episode that relied heavily on two people, and they picked the wrong two people.
Yeah. And you know who did a great job, I think? did I write down his name? Sean Baker. He was another guy that's been on previous episodes of NYPD Blue. The it turns out is the actual guy that robbed the store and shot the dude. I thought he did a great job, and
yes,
because he was a black gentleman who his brother was outside the store. He went in, tried to rob the place, ended up shooting the guy.
It was an impromptu robbery too,
and they do that classic NYPD Blue move where they threaten to arrest his brother, and he's like, "Yeah, it was all me. It had nothing to do with my brother." They also lie to him and tell him the guy didn't die. I think they did that.
Yeah, that's the other thing I remember is they lied to him. They straight up, he asked, he's like, so is the guy going to make it? And they say, they basically are like, yeah, from the last we heard, he probably.
And
did, they already know he's dead.
So, yeah, he's going for murder.
Which is kind of whack. And then, yeah, it was the brother scenes were pretty interesting. Like the scene in the apartment was good. Like mm-hmm. That was a cool shot, especially when he was hiding in the closet. That was I remember watching that the first time. And being like, whoa, where are they going to go with this if they only have the young kid?
Yeah.
But then they find him. I thought he did a really good job being interrogated.
Yeah.
When they were like, where were you? And he was like, oh, I went this. And he's like, oh, were you at here at this? He's like, I was not at the thing, sir.
Yeah. When he did an impression.
I thought that was great.
I will say, and yeah. I might cut this out, because I've been getting a lot of clips from the All the Smoke podcast. Mm-hmm. It is very fun to watch black people do impressions of white people. At one point, one of those guys did an impression of Rick Carlisle, and I was like, "Yeah, we do sound like that. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's like you can't get mad at it.
No,
it's just funny as shit. No, it's funny. I like. I get fed clips of Ari Spears.
Yeah,
who like he's kind of problematic."
A little bit, just a little
when
bit.
When he makes fun of white people, oh man, it is so funny. It makes
me laugh. Oh my God, did you see him talk about? He was on, I think, Byron Scott's podcast, and he goes, "Look, I have Michael Jordan aspirations, but I have Dennis Rodman habits." And he's like, and they're all laughing, and he's like, "Look, here's the deal. Kevin Hart right now is the Michael Jordan of our business, and it's not. I'm not knocking him, but if we're like beverages." I'm a glass of Hennessy. And he's a cool Capri Sun on the weekend. And he's like, and look, that's no shade. Sometimes a Capri Sun is exactly what you need. And I was like, that's really funny. Wow.
That's wild.
That's wild. No, he's funny.
Anyway.
Black guys or black people making white voices or making fun of white people's voice and cadence. It's hilarious.
But just to go back to that character, when they bring in the right guy, he's doing an amazing job, but this is after like six scenes with Daniel Baldwin and this other guy.
Yeah, and they also bring in the wrong guy.
Yeah. Also, this episode and next episode have great examples of cops just fucking up royally.
And not being held accountable for it.
And then going like, we got it. We got it taken care of. And it's like, what do you mean we just got it taken care of? Like, this is really fucked up, what you did. Like, when you think about it, they almost got a murder charge on a guy that does robberies. I don't think the guy ever did a murder.
The Gates guy. Yeah.
So they were going to put murder on the wrong guy just because Daniel Baldwin was, like, forcing it to happen.
That was fun, though.
The nephew was like, yeah, dude, I would have killed those dudes, but, you know, they ran out. Turns out he's a fucking bitch and ran out. He just put it on the wrong guy, and then it took him, like, two different threatening moments with Sipowicz to be honest about it.
Well, because I think didn't Sipowicz, if I remember correctly, or even John, they start to feel that this kid's
lying,
or it's not adding up. It doesn't feel right.
And the phone call didn't come from where he said it was. Yeah. It was, like, down the street.
A lot of shit ended up happening that made Sipowicz and John question it, and then you're right, it took him like that final push for him to be like, alright, I wasn't there.
Okay, I don't know.
I ran, okay? You don't think I wanted to be there? You don't think I wanted to be there?
Oh my God.
They raised me like that with my I was their own kid.
It's pretty funny how I know those aren't the lines, but it feels like he's here. Am I on Inside the Actor's Studio with James?
Like this one, I talk like him.
But yeah, it really, the whole episode hanged on Daniel Baldwin.
Hungs on.
Let's get down to business to defeat the Hungs.
That's Huns. With a D. Learn your history.
Read a
book.
I'm pretty sure it's Huns. H-U-N-S.
I thought it was Huns, like hundreds.
Nope. But
there were hundreds of them.
There was a lot more.
Hundreds of thousands of Huns.
That's where we get hundreds. It isn't.
Attila was their leader, right?
Yeah, the band. so.
No, but seriously, though, Attila led them, right?
Attila the Hun, yes.
Attila the Hun. So it's H-U-N, yeah.
Yeah, it's Hun, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, their thing is they were always shortening honey to everybody. That's why they were called Huns. They were the Hunnies.
I think we should have stopped.
We should have. We should have stopped a beat back. But yeah, you're right about Daniel Baldwin being like, he's always on his cell phone. He calls somebody dog.
Yeah, he's like, he comes in and he's just like.
And Sipowicz kind of gives off this attitude of like, hey, do you want to do this job?
Well, because Sipowicz's whole mindset is if you're going to be a detective, it's the only thing you're going to do. Nothing can get in the way of being a detective.
And
you can't have a side business. You can't have a personal life. Like, being a detective is everything that you do.
Well, I watched that episode in season two. It's kind of a deep cut, but episode in season two where they bring in other detectives to do the interrogation on Sipowicz's case because they don't want to pay him the overtime.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I then just watched that one, too, recently.
And then as they leave, Sipowicz was like, hey, do you got a landscaping business on the island?
He goes, on Long Island.
He's like, what, we can't take another job? He's like, yeah, well, how about you get to it? Like, basically, like, fuck off. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, if you're not going to do the job 100%, then don't do it.
And he kind of gives him that conversation where he's like, so, like, why don't you just leave and focus on that job? And Daniel Baldwin kind of gives this, like, I don't need you looking at my conscience. Kind of with a swagger, like, I'll be back for another guest star. And they're like, no, you won't. We're never going to see you again.
I don't know. To be honest with you, after he left at the end of this episode, I didn't think he was ever coming back, personally. The first time I even watched it, I was like, oh, I don't think I'll ever see him again.
It was almost like...
But when they bring in random people, you know, like Mos Def or Joey Pants or like Donna's sister, like I was like,
JB.
JB, like I'll probably see them again. But yeah. Fancy's wife for the first like first two or three, four seasons, his brother.
Yeah.
No, his brother was only a one-off. He never came back.
No, he was in two. You didn't do.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
They had like the first complaint. Then they had the second one where he came in plain clothes.
You're right. Yeah. So they like even then I kind of had a feeling like, oh, these will be recurring characters.
But
and
you
then
didn't
next season, you know, like you meet Issa Morales' ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
And then like, not to spoil it, she's a recurring character. But like there are just times where you feel it. And with him, it was like. Like, you kind of made it was like this one-off, like, hey, we got a Baldwin.
Yeah, it
but
did
it was
feel
like
yeah.
you didn't get the right one. unless at that time, like...
Like, was Daniel Baldwin... Was, like, stock in Baldwin just that high?
At that time, I don't know. Like, were like, they all riding the shadow fame? Like, you know what
Somebody
I mean?
Somebody Google the stock of Baldwin in this time.
Like, I didn't think Alec Baldwin was popular again until he did 30 Rock. Like, I didn't think any Baldwin mattered until he did 30 Rock.
Well, the Baldwin, like, Alec, like, there's a lot of actors like this where people are like, oh, it's them. And I'm like, what did they do?
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't know. I can't name a movie that Alec Baldwin is in that's not The Shadow.
Great.
The,
The Shadow.
Oh, wasn't he in Glengarry Glen Ross? I've never seen it, but he's in it.
He has one scene where he kicks ass.
And I hear he's good in it.
Yeah, he has like a scene where he gives a speech.
And The Departed with his horrible, with everyone's giving a horrible accent.
Yeah.
But that, I can't tell you like movies he's in. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Rust.
But yeah,
I've never seen it.
It did feel like a look who we got, and it's like, who cares? The other story, which I think had more to it, was basically a dude comes in and says, "Hi, I got a letter that's clearly a scam." Like, a guy said, "Hi, I'm a Catholic priest.
Oh, yeah.
Your sister needs money. Because she's being held somewhere and she needs money to get out." And like, that's a scam. That's just a scam. So he goes to the police. Rogelio. They work it out to get a drop on the guy.
Rogelio.
The guy's in priest vestments, and I think he shoved a woman. So he shoved Rita. So they take him down with a little more prejudice. And then I do have to ask you about this. So there is a interrogation where they bring this dude in, and then Meta Voice says, "You're talking to a former Catholic altar boy, so I take this really personally." And it was like, why? Like, okay, what?
Because
you're pretending to be a priest. I understand that's not very cool, but also, like,
I don't know, because I will just tell you this. I had an English teacher who, when I was a senior in high school, there was a lot of, this is like at the, when the it was like the beginning of this, like the rollout of all, finding out about all these priests that were like molesting kids all over the place.
So it was peak spotlight time.
It was like around the time when it was like picking up and you're hearing more and more stories. And then I think it finally fell into where it was like, oh, it was like a well-designed, planned, coordinated attempt to like hide these people.
Mm.
And I remember my English teacher being like offended and upset that we were making fun of Catholic priests. And her response was, "I know what they did was wrong, but like that's the religion that I grew up on and I'm raising my family on."
Okay.
And they have, so there's this like, a lot of religions like this. It's not just Catholicism, but East Coasters, when it comes to like Catholicism, especially like Irish, they're very Catholic, and it's very much ingrained in them, and that's why he takes offense to it. That's what I think. I think it's just like it's a regional thing, but yeah.
It's.
But she was from here. But I think it's like, I don't know, the Muslim faith gets the same thing. It gets the same rap. Like, If Meta Boy was Muslim instead, he'd be pissed if a guy like was pretending to like wear I forget what the garbs that they wear and pretend to be like the head of a mosque, you know? Like, I think he would still be pissed about that.
It is just funny to me because he got so upset when it was like, why aren't you angry that he's just clearly lying to you? Which they bring up constantly.
Or like, how about the fact that he's like, you found out that he's working in a ring that sex traffics women.
Well, he didn't know that at this time. Because I will give him that. Only because they basically go like, hey, all we know is that you're definitely a part of an extortion. We don't even know if the woman's alive. We just know that you know he has a sister.
Yeah.
So how are you connected? And he's like, yeah, she's a drug addict and she needed the money. Like, how are you going to give her the money?
Yeah.
Like, they basically can tell he's lying about everything from moment one. And he's like, you're talking to a former altar boy. And it's like, why aren't you just pissed that he's clearly a fucking scumbag and lying to you? Like,
Well, I think it's tied into it. I think what's upsetting is that he's dressed like a priest doing all this shitty stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do that, because in Metavoy's eyes, when you see someone wearing all of that, they're supposed to be like the right hand of God. They're the mouthpiece of God, basically.
They're Father Maxi.
Yeah, they're the mouthpiece of God. And so, like, when you see someone dressed like that doing shitty things, you get pissed because it's degrading that
position, which is held by some people in a very high esteem.
Yeah, the way that whole case lays out is they find out, oh, she's at a massage parlor. Go down there, pick her up. She doesn't want to talk about what's happening until she sees her brother, and then she's like, yeah, it's sex trafficking. Yeah. And then they pull the old prisoner's dilemma on the dude in the priest vest, but it's like, hey, so the dude's saying it's all your idea, and he's like, that fucker, I'm the one dressing up like a priest and running his errands? I'll give you names. I'll give you names and dates and numbers. And it was like, well.
Yeah, he sang so fast. It was kind of trash.
Man, if you can't trust sex traffickers, who can you trust?
Exactly. Just like priests? Come on now.
But I thought that story was intriguing and interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought everybody was at least bringing some heat to it.
Yeah, it was decent.
But it's just
surrounded by a goo of shit.
A goo of shit.
That is the first story.
A goo of shit. Also, it's important to note that this episode, before it completely ends, I guess John and Rita are in a relationship now. That's just what it is. Hey, we're in a relationship
now. Her husband just died.
When did that happen? It happened earlier this season.
Yeah.
So it's less died. It's less than a year.
Yes.
But she wasn't fucking him that much.
Oh, okay. So that's cool.
Well,
you convinced me. You got it.
Hold on, Kyle.
You convinced me.
They were having a really bad relationship.
Oh, yeah. So, exactly. So just get over it.
Kyle.
Memories? What are memories?
I don't know why.
Memories? Wait.
I don't know why this is the stick in your craw, but okay.
Memories? Fuck them. Fuck memories, dude.
I would say this. You got to remember that John also fought a dude who wanted to have sex with her, and his prize is to get to have sex with her. That's classic TV.
My question is is that a part of...
My question is, why did you put your hat in front of the microphone and start talking? My question.
My question is was that part of the smoker contract? Like,
winner gets to have sex with Rita?
Yeah, yeah, a part of the Laughlin, what's his fucking name? Junior fight?
It's like Kawhi Leonard. It's not officially a part of his winnings, but it's implied.
Don't make it personal, but we can't have the smoker turn into a personal battle. No, none whatsoever. But I'm okay with the winner getting to fuck somebody. So let's go. Light them up.
That whole thing when we talked about it, it was a little while ago, but like, this is also just proof that the writing has kind of dipped, because it's like, you got Laughlin who comes in like, hey, was she caliente? I want some of it, man. I want a taste.
Caliente.
And then John's like, hey, could you not be an asshole? And he's like, why don't you fight me? And he's like, okay. And then they treat each other like shit for several episodes. Then they fight, never talk to him again about it. And the end result is, yeah, we're just like together now.
Yeah.
Like, what?
After one night, we're done. We didn't date. Like, are we going to talk about families? Like, how many brothers do you have? How many sisters do you have? Like, what's happening?
Nope, he's got one dick and two balls. That's all she needs to know.
That's all she needs, baby.
And she's got one vagina and two breasts.
And a mean love jab.
Anyway, we kind of were all over the place and didn't really talk about this episode too much.
I feel like a rider on NYPD Blue this year.
Just a shout out to Ramon Franco, Sean Baker, and Marco Rodriguez. All of those guys were in previous episodes of NYPD Blue. Return guests. I don't know. I do like, which I want to mention, and I'm starting to appreciate it more in film. When the brother and the sister finally meet, they only speak in Spanish, and they don't translate it. The only reason I appreciate that...
Why would you like that?
Because it's realistic.
You don't know what they're saying.
It's like when... It's like when you're watching a movie and they don't translate them talking in another language, because that's how it would be. Like, that's how life is. If you don't know the language, you just don't know. So look it up. I don't know. I just liked it. It's weird. I know it doesn't make any sense, but I like it. Kyle just waved me off, so
it's dumb.
He waved me off like he wanted.
Hey, here's a whole section that we're not going to tell you what they're saying. Part of a
we can get the context.
Part of an episode, an episodic show that you're going to need all the information in the world, but let's not give it to you.
Anything you'd like to say about
pulling
this?
Some lost shit over here?
Is there anything you'd like to say about this episode before we wrap it up?
I don't like this episode with all of the bones in my body.
Just your bones?
Mm-hmm. No cartilage, no veins or muscles, just my bones. Like,
and no blood.
No blood. Well, that's in the veins, idiot. But okay.
But you were just talking about the veins itself. You didn't.
Yeah, how do you know? What if it's an all-encompassing package?
You're an all-encompassing package.
When I say muscles, I don't mean tendons and ligaments, too. I'm just expecting that all to be all-encompassing.
Okay, well.
No, I don't like this episode. I don't like the acting in it. The stories are good, but they're not good enough to combat everything else in it that I don't find good. Yeah, that's all I really got about that one.
Alrighty. You want to make some more Hun jokes?
No. Okay. I'm just going to go get in my Hyundai.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see it in the algorithm. And more importantly, they might start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. There's a couple of books out there if you just have just a need for more NYPD Blue in your life. There's What Would Sipwits Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There is Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for, I believe, 99 cents. There is two Max Allen Cullen novels that take place in the world of NYPD Blue. If you find them for a decent price, scoop them up, because they were not a decent price the last time I checked. Anyway, thank you so much for still listening to our show. I apologize yet again for the delay. Life has found a way, and it's been hitting hard, and we're just trying to get back in the swing of things. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a good one, and be good to yourself and each other. Peace.